I say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all of you here. The visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is good to come together again today to worship the Lord. It's good to be gathered together. Yeah, yesterday we were at Amberly and Brandon's wedding, Amberly Zimmerman and Brandon Horst. It was a very good day. I always enjoy weddings. There's just something special about them and just the beauty of that day. But it is good to be gathered together here this morning as well and to worship the Lord together. It's an encouraging time as we think of the life of the church and God leading and directing as we move forward with the life of the church. This morning for a message, I want to look at a little bit of fulfilling the plan that God has for each of us in life. I've said it before many times, and I was thinking about it again this week a little bit, and you know, God has a plan for each one of us. We didn't have a choice to be here today or in this day and age, like in this time in the history of the world. Excuse me. God had a design for us. God had a purpose for us, and God planned for us to be born when we were born, and that is why we were here. So as we think about that, yesterday I was thinking a little bit about this too, as Brother Matt Martin, maybe one of Amberly's uncles, had shared the meditation there, and he was talking a little bit about the marriage and how he used it as an analogy of planting up a plant, and you're starting at how you cultivate it, how you dig the hole and you plant. He was using that as an analogy as for marriage. But I was thinking along that line, or I'd already had this in my notes some for the message for this morning. The question I want each of us to think about, am I blooming where God has planted me? We didn't have a choice to be born in this day and age in which I said we didn't choose to be born in America. God chose for us to be born where we are. Obviously, we could move to another part of the world or another part of the country, and some people do, and that's okay if God calls them to do that. But I guess another way to looking at too that question, am I blooming where God planted me? Am I surrendered to do what God has for me to do? The title of the message this morning is Bloom Where You Are Planted. I want to look at a verse here in the opening in Jeremiah, thinking about some of this, and I'll make a few more comments about that. A little bit about blooming, where we are planted, God's purpose for our lives. But in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto all the nations. And then we see Jeremiah's response there in the next couple verses. I won't dwell on that, but Jeremiah kind of had the same response that most of us do. As who am I to do this? And he thought it was, first his response was, I'm just a child, and yeah, I can't do this. But then God went on and told him that I'm touching your hand, I'm touching your mouth. In verse 9, behold, I will put words in your mouth. But I guess the thing I want us to think about as we're thinking about what we're talking about here this morning, of blooming where we are planting, doing what God has for us to do. God is telling Jeremiah there that, before I even formed you, before you even conceived, I knew you and I had a purpose for your life. I would plan for you to be the prophet to the nation here in this day and age in which you are called to be. And I think that is what God has for each one of us today. You know, we see things happening around about us in the world, a lot of division, a lot of hard things taking place in different ways, and a lot of people not following after God, turning from God, and there at the wedding and rehearsal Friday night we were there, and there was two young girls there on the bench right behind me. We were sitting there going through the what they were telling us for rehearsal, and I mean, they were talking amongst themselves, so it wasn't in a whole group, but the one girl, you could obviously tell she had left and had no part of Christianity anymore, and there was some Bibles there, and the songbook racks, and two of the girls had pulled the Bibles out. I don't know how old they would have been. I would have said mid-20s at least. And the one girl was like, yeah, I grew up in the church, and I'd went to church till I was 16, but after that I decided I was done with the church. And I was they were there talking, they were kind of paging through the Bibles, and you could tell the one girl especially, was the first time she had opened a Bible in a lot of years. And it just really saddened me to think about how a person could get to that place and be so, some of the things were being said, you could tell they were very hard and very cold towards the church and toward the Lord and toward Christianity. And I thought about that, and I was thinking about how does that happen? I don't know what family. She was not a part of either of the families that was there. She was a friend that was there from some other acquaintances. So it was not a part of Brandon or Amberlee's family, so I don't know nothing about that. But I guess I was thinking about that as I want to make this next point. Are we putting forth our best effort to support the life of the church? Are we giving our best to the Lord? Are we willing to bloom where we are planted? If we want our next generation to be all they can be for the Lord, we have to give our best to the Lord as well. Are we happy for what God has for us to do? Are we wanting more or wishing for less? Maybe talk about some of that a little bit later on, but the text we want to look at this morning, and if you want to turn with me at this time, is Psalm 92, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 15. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, those that be planted or those that who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat or they shall be fresh and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Couple short verses there, but a lot of things we can pull from these verses. Excuse me. I wonder sometimes if many times we as Christians fail to understand ourselves or who we really are, why we are here on this earth, or what we are to do with the talents that God has given to each one of us. You know, I thought about that a little bit, and I thought about the parable of the talents where God gave different number of talents to the different individuals there, and how different ones of them had used the talents that God gave them, not only used them, but multiplied them. That means that they, I'm going to use that as an analogy for us to understand today, took the gifts they had and used them abundantly, and they flourished and they thrived, and they gained more talents, or I don't know if they'd say they gained more talents, but their ministry was the things they did for the Lord just multiplied. But the one man was not. He knew that he was that God was a just God and a man that judged. I think he used the term. I don't know if I forget the exact word he used, but he could almost put the word in there harshly. In other words, he came down hard if you didn't do good. And so he went and hid his talents because he didn't want to use his talents that God gave him. And we know what God told him, that he was a wicked and slothful servant. So as we think about the message before us this morning of blooming where we are planted, doing what God has for us to do and the talents with the talents that God gave us. Part one we want to look at is surrender. The first two verses there in the first verse starts out with the righteous. Who is the righteous? To be righteous, we have to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have to accept that Jesus as our Savior and allow Him to be Lord of our lives. There's no other way for us to have righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse 6 talks about any righteousness outside of that or any righteousness from within ourselves is nothing but filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 10, I won't take time to turn to some of these verses, but if that verse says there is none righteous, no, not one. So we know there is no one that is righteous outside of a relationship with Jesus. So as we think about this, we're talking to those of us here this morning that have accepted the Lord as our Savior, those of us that are claiming the name of Christ, those of us that are living for the Lord and have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. The first part of the verse there says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I don't know, I think I've probably said this before as I looked at some of these verses, but I don't know if you've ever been, I'm sure most of us have been in areas where there are palm trees and down in Florida and some of the other tropical areas, and the big wind storms, they just sway in the wind. Many times, if it gets bad enough, some of them will break off, but it has to be really, really windy for palm trees to break off. And I'm often wonder, I think this is why they used the palm tree here instead of another tree. Here about 2 weeks ago, 10, 12 days ago, we had a pretty bad windstorm, might be 2 weeks ago now, go through our area. And there was tree limbs that went down on oak and locust trees there in Panola and some of the surrounding communities right beside us. And I thought about that as I was studying here, you know, if some of those trees would be in a tropical area where they get a lot of high winds from tropical storms or hurricanes, there would be all kinds of trees down and snapped off and broken a lot more than the palm trees would. So here we're seeing the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. And I kind of get the analogy there that even in the strong storms and the tests of life, yeah, there's going to be some swaying, there's going to be some testing of our character, testing of our faithfulness, test. But yet, in the long run, we're going to be continued to be faithful to the Lord and doing what He has for us to do. Part of surrender is learning to come under authority. Brother Ed talked about that last Sunday morning psalm. Some men are willing to come under authority, whether it's God or others around them. Some people come to the place of surrender to some of the experiences and hardships that God allows them to go through. Again, Job is a good example of that. He was willing to surrender and continue to keep his faith and trust in the Lord, even though he faced a lot of things that none of us will hopefully ever see or go through. Then there are others that you never really understand what it means to come under authority and end up causing a lot of grief for themselves and others around them. Think a little bit about the title of the message here this morning. If we're going to bloom where we are planted, we have to be willing to do what God has for us to do. Full surrender to God's will for our lives. Sold out for the cause of Christ and His church. And this is another one. We have to accept how God made you. You know, some people are born with difficulties. Some people get difficulties. Peter Zuccone was one that came to my mind. He was not born with that, but he had polio. Many of us that would have known him, he would have had a lot of great difficulty getting around in life. He would have had a lot of, as he got older, it got worse and worse. But yet, he was one that would have flourished for the Lord. He didn't get upset at God because of how he was. And I think it was, Brother Eddie was just mentioning about him yesterday. We were talking a little bit about he passed away here within the last year, and he has a lot of writings that were not finished. But one of the books he was writing was on suffering, and he did not quite get it done. But, you know, and how a man could go through so much suffering as he had, but yet be willing to write a book about suffering. And I'm sure if I know Peter's life, there would have been a lot of in there about being faithful in the midst of suffering and continuing on for the work of the Lord. In his last couple years, he was to the place where he could do very little for himself even. I think, he could still feed himself, but there was very little other than that he could do as far as getting around. He had a lot of hardship there and needed a lot of help. Are we willing to accept the infirmities that God has for us in life? We see a lot of conflict arising in different areas today. A lot of conflict is in the category of two different things. Either a person isn't willing to use his gifts in the life of the church, or else many times people are envious and covet the responsibilities that God has given someone else. Are we willing to use the gifts that God has given us and bloom where He has planted us? Part two we want to look at is bearing fruit. Verse 13, it says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." God will give us strength to do what He has for us to do. We can stay encouraged. We can stay strengthened. A verse thinking about some of that is in Philippians 1, verse 6. It says it like this. Turn back one chapter too far. But it says, "Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The work that God has continued to that has started in us, he will continue to do that work. That is not only continuing to keep us safe within our salvation, but to continue to help us to grow and mature in the gifts that he has given to us. Verse 13, thinking about those that are planted in the house of the Lord, again, raise the question, well, who is planted in the house of the Lord? Things just don't happen on their own. A couple verses thinking about that in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, says, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth forth her root by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So there we see a picture that is being painted for those that have continued to trust in the Lord. It says, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. So we could say that those that are planted in the house of the Lord is those who have their faith and trust and hope in the Lord. But then the picture that is painted there, it's almost like this it is painting the picture of the tree that is planting by the river of water, that the roots is getting nourishment from the moisture that is there. And even when the heat cometh, or the year of drought, shall never cease to yield fruit. So what we're wanting to look at is here a little bit is those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those of us that are keeping our faith and trust in the Lord, we will continue to flourish in the courts of God. We will continue to flourish in the gifts and the responsibilities he has given us, regardless of what we face in life. Yes, there will be some times we have trials. There will be some times we have testing. There will be some times we wonder. There will be times we have discouragement because none of us are perfect. But through it all, we will continue to flourish in the house of the Lord. Quote, somebody said it like this, as we observe the church today, sadly, most of the people who call themselves Christians are failing to bloom. They just visit church. They just attend, yet they are not really committed physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They attend church because their parents told them that's what they should do, or that their friends go there. They attend because it's what has always been done, or they attend because it makes them look good in the community. Then the man that was writing this said, I believe God has planted us all here. I believe also that if God has planted us here, then we need to be willing to bloom where we are planted. A couple of questions to think about and ask ourselves this morning. Who are we in Christ? Does God have first place in your life? If your answer is yes to that second one, well, then what does that look like? Another question, are we blooming the way God wants you to? Are you blooming the way God wants you to? Another question, a lot of questions to think about and ponder about, but is God happy with what you're doing in life and how you're living? Is your life bringing honor and glory to the Lord? Does our life prove that we are planted in the house of the Lord and that we are flourishing in the house of God? Couple verses in Psalm 15, it's the entire chapter, 1 through 5. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And verse 2 answers a question. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And then the rest of the verses say that what bring out some things that we shouldn't be doing. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. He that sweareth with his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Again, you'll continue to be strong and be planted and growing and flourishing in the Lord. The last part we want to look at is growing in the Lord, part 3. Thinking about a plant, it takes time to mature and produce fruit. If you've ever done any type of gardening or farming or planting, you know you don't plant a seed one day and get the harvest the next day. You need to take care of it. And another thing, if you plant something and walk away and don't even look at it or forget about it for, let's say, corn, a lot of corn matures in roughly 4 months' time, 3 to 4 months, 120, 115, 120 days. But if you plant the seed and walk away and never look at it till 120 days, you're probably going to have a lot of disappointment. Because there's going to be weeds come up. Or if you've got sweet corn in your garden, you need to water it, and when it gets dry. That's the thing we want to think about here. As we grow in the Lord, it takes nurture, it takes care, it takes continual of care and growing in our relationship with the Lord. Verse 14, it talks about there, it says, they that still or they that continue, or they shall still or they shall continue to bring forth fruit in her old age. They shall be fat or they shall be fresh and flourishing, bringing out the thought of healthy, of vibrant and healthy. You know, I thought about this verse this morning. We had a group of heifers there, and the one heifer, I'm not sure why, younger heifer, every now and then you have a heifer that gets bloated. They get air in their stomach, and you have to relieve them of that air. And they build up a gas within their stomach. And usually, once a heifer will do that, it only takes one or two times. Sometimes this might sound a little whatever to some of you people that ain't used to it, but the easiest way to do that is to stick a tube down into their stomach, and the air comes out. There's other things you can give them, a liquid you can give them that helps with that. But this one heifer, my dad used to call these kind chronic bloaters. It just seemed like every day or every other day we needed to stick a tube down her throat and relieve that air. And this went on for about 3 weeks. And then finally, I was debating whether we should just get rid of her because it kept going on. But finally, she the last 2 weeks now, she has not bloated any since that. But yes, yesterday, as I was looking at that group of heifers, she's kind of thin. Over that time she was going through that, she couldn't eat as much. She wasn't taking in as much nourishment. She does not look near as healthy as the rest of them do in that group. And I thought about that here as I was looking and thinking about this here for an example of that today. If we're looking healthy and flourishing, we are taking in, we are drinking in God's word, we are growing in our relationship with the Lord, we are continuing to... We're not neglecting our relationship with the Lord. We're not turning away from our prayer life and our time that we need to spend with the Lord. And I thought about that, of bringing forth fruit in their old age. Some older men are prayer warriors. Some older men continue in their service for the Lord. I remember hearing Brother Walter Beachy. It's probably been, I'm not sure now, at least 4 or 5 years ago, the last time I heard him share a message. I don't know if he's still preaching or not, but at that point in time, he was 84 years old. And he said he don't know how many more years the Lord will give him good clarity of mind or good voice to be able to speak, but as long as the Lord does, he will continue as he's asked. He's not on a ministry team, obviously, anymore, but he will continue to do what God has for him to do. He will continue to bring forth fruit. Like I said, there's different levels of different ways to bring forth fruit. I thought about Brother Dale Ogburn. He's not here this morning, neither is Mary Ann, but he was my Sunday school teacher for years when I was a teenager in a church we grew up in. But as he got older, he said he just felt that he couldn't keep his thoughts together to be able to teach anymore. But today, he's probably, many times, he'll talk to us about praying for us, praying for the church. He's probably one of the greatest prayer warriors we have for the church. So there's still work for anyone to do, regardless of where you're at or what age you are. There's a phrase that I've seen or a little quote that I've seen, you never retire from being a Christian, and I like that. There's always something for you to do in the work of the Lord. Verse 13, the beginning of verse 13 and verse 14 together, so you kind of would read it like this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord will still bring forth fruit regardless of their age. We will continue to be flourishing in the work of the Lord. Kind of paraphrasing there a little bit, but it kind of brings out a lot of the thoughts that are there in those verses. Couple more verses, maybe thinking about some of that, thinking about some of the things we were talking about in Colossians 1. Verses 10 and 12, says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So there we see a lot of things in those verses, that we are walking worthy of the Lord, pleasing in his sight, being fruitful in everything we do, continue to increase and grow in our knowledge of the Lord. And through that, we are strengthened with all might, that we will have patience and longsuffering and do it with joyfulness. Verse 15 kind of is a good closeout, you could say, of what our lives should, what our purpose in life should be. To show forth that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. We see the psalmist David kind of painting a picture here. If we continue to flourish in the Lord, kind of drawing our thoughts together of all the verses we looked at, if we continue to flourish in the Lord, we will continue to grow. We will be like a palm tree. That couple other verses we looked at will be like trees that are planted by a river of water, where we're flourishing, where we're growing in the Lord, regardless of what is happening around us. We will continue to be planted in the house of the Lord. We will be bringing fruit of some sort, regardless of how old we are. You know, we can continue to do what we can for the work of the Lord. But then to sum that all up in verse 15 is to show or to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. He is my strength. He is the one that gives us the courage and the strength and the giftings to do that which we are doing. And that there is no unrighteousness in him. There is nothing he ever does that is wrong. He is all righteous and holy. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. There are many different opportunities for ministry in the church, in the community. Are we blooming where God has us planted to be? Are we being a testimony to our neighbors? Are we being a testimony to our friends? Are we being a testimony to those within our communities? Are we willing to bear fruit where God has you in life? You know, I'm sure all of us most likely live in a neighborhood where you have a neighbor too you wonder about sometimes. I've shared about our one neighbor that has a lot of loud music many times, used to drink a lot, and still, sad to say, from what you see out in his garbage along the road, a lot of beer case boxes and stuff there again. So you just wonder about where he's really at. He was in jail for a while for beating up his wife, abusing and beating up his wife. But through it all, I guess as I was thinking about that a little bit, as I was coming to the end of my notes here, what do our neighbors say about us? What does your neighbor say about you? Do they hear things coming from your house or your property that should not be in the life of a Christian? Is your life reflecting what Jesus' life would reflect? A couple things here in closing. What did Jesus do when he was here on this earth? I believe we could say in a nutshell that he was willing to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father, would kind of sum up what his life and ministry was. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Do we have the mind of Christ? Are we willing to bloom where we are planted and to fulfill the will that God has for our lives? Couple verses thinking about some of that here in closing in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Are we willing to surrender ourselves to the Lord in that? Another verse, I don't forget where that is found. I think it's in Proverbs. Yes, I know it's in Proverbs. Don't have the exact verse picked out, but it talks about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So here we see the fear to fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Are we willing and ready to give of our lives in service for the good of others? Are we willing to bloom where we are planted? You know, I'm sometimes not quite sure why it's like it is, but it was really dry there earlier in the summer, and your gardens, you know, you had to water the plants that you wanted to grow, but the weeds and some of the thick grass you really didn't want there seemed to just flourish without any moisture. And I thought about that in our Christian lives, you know. That's so much like it is in our Christian lives as well. The things that should not be part of our lives will grow and flourish if we just kind of stand still and become stagnant and don't do nothing. They kind of take precedence in our lives, but it takes effort to continue to grow your relationship with the Lord, to continue to be surrendered to the Lord, to continue to be all God wants you to be. The same way it is for your garden. You need to nurture, you need to water, you need to cultivate those plants to get them to really flourish. And that's how it is for us today. Are we willing to grow and bloom in the way God has for us to bloom? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.